Washington is the most trade-dependent state in the country, but our regulatory process for trade and infrastructure investments has sadly become longer and more uncertain, jeopardizing our ability to lead the way on trade. Keep Washington Competitive, a business and labor coalition, believes that by fostering a regulatory environment that provides certainty and encourages investment, we will ensure our state is positive to thrive. It is paramount that our lawmakers and regulators work together with business and labor to sustain our state's vital trade industries for future generations of Washingtonians. Learn more at keepwashingtoncompetitive.com.
Welcome to the Sheriff's Report with your host, Spokane County Sheriff Ozzie Knezovich. Each week, Ozzie brings you up to date on the challenges and progress here in Spokane County as seen through his eyes. The Sheriff's Report is sponsored by Keep Washington Competitive. Now, here's Ozzie.
Radio base to the Sheriff. Come in, Sheriff.
Good afternoon, folks. This is Sheriff Ozzie Knezovich with the Sheriff's Report. Today we're going to talk about law enforcement hiring, which is getting to be tougher and tougher. Across the nation, agencies are finding it very difficult to attract good quality candidates in reference to coming into the law enforcement field. It's to the point where we're starting to wonder what the dynamic is that's not bringing people into the profession like it used to. When I tested for law enforcement positions when I was trying to get into the profession, there were times I tested against 1,000 plus people for two jobs. Now we have... You have, like, the city of Oakland, I believe, is 50% down on their manpower. And they're finding it very difficult to find anybody. I talked to a police commander from an agency in the Boston area, and he said that they just put out a test. 364 people applied for it. And he said he's never seen such a low turnout. And when I asked, well, how many positions do you have open? And he said, more than that. These jobs tend to be fairly good paying. But law enforcement CEOs across the nation are really coming and drawing the conclusion that it's the negativity that's been put out by the media and activists concerning law enforcement, and the fact that because of that negativity that has incited some people to actually hunt down police officers and kill them. Law enforcement officers in the United States are being assassinated. So you combine all of that, it becomes very, very difficult to find good quality people. The commander from the Boston area said it's so bad that his agency just lowered their standards to accept people with minor felony convictions. Folks, we'll never do that. We're not going to lower our standards that way. We hold standards very, very high in this agency because that's what you should demand. That's what we all should demand is the men and women that wear the badge for you should be some of the best that we can find. Now, does that mean they're going to be perfect? Well, ask yourself, are you perfect? I don't think there's anybody out there that can say that they've never done anything that they regret in their lives. And we have young men and women that come in, and they have to talk about all those things when they get into the business. So I have Sergeant Marty Tucker in studio with me today. Along again, I think you'll remember from last week, Tony Anderman, who's responsible for our curricular development and moving the training unit to the next level. And he's doing a great job in that arena. But Marty, kind of give the folks an idea of what we're seeing and how difficult it really is to get into the law enforcement profession.
Okay. Thank you, Sheriff. First of all, I think we need to start by letting the people know that we have core values and our mission statement and our vision, and that basically guides everything we do in the Sheriff's Office. So we need to look at that. Our core values being caring, citizenship, fairness, respect, responsibility, and trustworthy. And of course, our mission statement talks about being a positive influence in our community. And how we accomplish that is by working in partnership with the community to enhance our law enforcement effectiveness. And our vision talks about training. And we do, and our vision here at the Sheriff's Office is to provide highly trained, dedicated teams of professionals working in partnership with our community. So when you take that into consideration, I'll just briefly give you the numbers, Sheriff, on what exactly we did in 2016. We had 325 total applicants that applied through our civil service. Out of that, 248 of them failed the oral boards or were DQ'd per policy, meaning our policy, or were non-selected upon review by the command staff. Of the 77 applicants who were selected for pre-background interview, 25 ended up going on to full background investigation. We ended up with a total of 19 officer candidates or brand new hires brought on in 2016. We vetted 26 lateral deputies during that same period, and six of them were hired. It gives us about a 7% success rate. Just for your information. Quickly, I will kind of go through the whole process that is involved, and I think it kind of talks about the care and concern that we take into providing the best deputies for the citizens of Spokane County. Everybody that's interested in becoming a deputy has to first go through Spokane County Civil Service. And once they get in touch with them via the website or by phone, they will be directed to the website and have to fill out a Spokane County application. Then they have to take a typing test, which they have to pass at 30 words per minute. And they have to send in various documents into civil service. This all happens before we even see them. They are told they have to sign up with a company called Public Safety Testing. They do all the testing for civil service now. They have sites all up and down the West Coast. They'll take a written test and a physical ability test. All those results are sent back to Spokane County Civil Service. And then after that list is certified with Spokane County Civil Service, we actually get those names. And then our process starts. And briefly, our process, it starts with an oral board. If they pass the oral board, it goes to an integrity interview. And then from there, if they make it through that, they'll go into the background. That background investigation, as you mentioned earlier, requires them divulging. They will talk about everything they've ever done in their lives. We dig into everything, and I can read through the requirements of RCW and WAC that talk about what we have to have. They make it through that, they will give a conditional offer. And after the conditional, they'll go through a polygraph, a psychological, and then a medical. And after they make it through that, they get their final offer. And then from there, they'll go into the academy. And after that, a field training car, and then finally, solo patrol. At this point, it takes about a year. I can go into details on our policy, but Spokane County, we have a specific policy for recruitment and selection. We refer to it as Policy 1000 because that's what it is, and it talks about what our standards are and what's a shall be disqualified and what a may be disqualified is, and those mays quote unquote, are what are sent up to the undersheriff for review. And like the sheriff said earlier, everybody makes mistakes. The biggest issue we have is people deciding they don't want to tell us everything and they'll lie. And if they get caught lying, then they are automatically disqualified. We do not expect perfection. We want people to be honest because we've all done things in our past, and it's recognized, and the sheriff recognizes that. We are guided by several RCWs in our selection process. The biggest one that we go by has to do with RCW or a WAC 139-05-250. Talks about the basic law enforcement curriculum. WAC 139-07-020 gives us a guideline of what the state of Washington wants us to do for background. It's a minimum requirement. It includes stuff that proof of United States citizenship, proof of education, personal references. They require at least three previous employers and schools attended, all of them. We require residence history, every single place that they've lived. Yes, sir.
Got a question for you,
sure.
Marty. When we identify somebody and we decide this is it, mm-hmm. that we're going to focus on hiring this individual, we actually send investigators out, and let's say they're a lateral police officer. Explain a little bit about that little bit of the process. When our investigators go out and start talking to friends, family, and everybody.
Right. Okay. We have two background investigators currently, and what they will do is they will, as I was reading in this WAC, they will actually go out and they will travel to wherever the lateral is coming from or wherever the new hire is coming from, and they will visit their relatives, they will visit their neighbors, they will go to their, in the case of a lateral, they go to the department that they're coming from and look through their background, look through their training, look through their personal history, their personnel files. They go through everything. They show up at their homes and they will do a house visit and to see how things are there unannounced, because we want to see how they live. We want to see who it is we're going to be hiring. They will also try to do a ride along with them to see how they work and what kind of work they do, what they focus on, how they interact with the public.
And that's really important for us to actually get that one-on-one feedback with people that know the candidate. Have we found negative things by doing that?
Yes. We have several times gone, and when we travel, we will find information that either was withheld on their personal history statement forms that they did not tell us about. Everything ranging from previous marriages to previous employment they didn't talk about to drug history. We had one where when we did the ride along, it soon became apparent that that type of personality and characters that he was showing while he was working was not what we wanted in Spokane County, and he was not processed any further.
So basically, kind of tough to get in to our agency. And folks, I can tell you that for the three agencies that I four agencies that I've worked for, that was fairly consistent. Same type of processes and a lot of detail into that background. Tony, you ran the academy for a while here locally. What did you see as far as the quality of candidates coming in, any issues that you saw during the academy? And, Marty mentioned some of the requirements. there are a lot of requirements, but not necessarily all agencies are following those background requirements. One of the things that when I get back to you, Marty, I'd like you to talk about is one of our background investigators that just retired actually taught background investigation across the nation for a while. So, Tony, what did you see at the academy level?
Sure. Sheriff, I was at the academy as the assistant commander from 2012 until, 2014 to 2016. And we had great students that attended the academy. The academy's low stress. It's academic. It's performance-based. They get an opportunity to sit in a classroom for hours to learn the knowledge needed to be successful on the street. With that, they were able to give opportunities to perform basic skills, as in defensive tactics, firearms, and then they get put into practical environments to test those skills. What we found is some students will take that stress, or at least perceived stress, and really bounce that off themselves to where they may not be able to handle the environment. And that could be one of multiple variables of why some students may not succeed. The academy is set up to help that student succeed to be that good officer on the street to work with the community. However, for whatever reason, due to academic, due to other areas or variables, they may not successfully pass that academy.
And I've noticed that even in the field training car, when I'd get a new rookie when I was an FTO, I would tell them, you're going to make mistakes. That is going to happen. You're probably sitting in the most stressful position you will ever sit in your life because you have an 800-pound gorilla sitting in the seat next to you watching every single move you make, and you're going to make mistakes. My job is to make sure that you learn how not to make those mistakes. If you make them, retrain you so you don't make that mistake again. And the worst thing you're going to do is hold on to those mistakes, because if you don't drop that mistake, you'll make the next call, you're going to make another mistake, and you end up in this spiral. And it's very much the same at the academy. It's stressful. You have a lot of people watching what you're doing. And if you get in that spiral, it becomes very hard to get out of it. Do you know any statistics as far as a washout rate while they're in the academy?
I couldn't give you any statistics of the washout rate, but when you're addressing the mistakes, that the great instructors, the great men and women that actually teach at the academies will tell each student that this is the place to make the mistakes. So we can start working through those mistakes and help and give those individuals the tools to work through the stress, to work through that environment. And that's the same thing as in the FTO car. Great FTOs will tell the same thing, just like you stated, that a good FTO will state this is the place to make mistake. But at one point, as you recover from those mistakes, you have to take control of the environment yourself now without me there. And that's why you're in the FTO car, is to watch that improvement or the maturity.
Right. Going back to the background aspect, and, we tend to be recognized statewide as one of the best training units in the state. We train a lot of law enforcement from across, quite frankly, the world. We've had students from as far as Japan, Israel, Malaysia. And one of the classes that one of our personnel actually taught nationally was background investigations. Why don't you talk a little bit about that, Marty?
Yeah, he just recently retired, but we had a guy that would teach, and he still does, and he would travel around to different states, and while he was there, he would compare what our standards are and what our state standards are compared to what the standards are of the states he was working in, and it was surprising the huge variance in requirements. Some states just require a basic check, records check, like you would get if you were volunteering to work in a church or something. They just run that, and that's basically all they had to do. Others were a lot more stringent, like Washington State. We go above and beyond Washington State ourselves just to make sure we cover all our bases. But that, it's incredible the amount of people doing this job that really have never been properly vetted. And that was one of the things that he found out as he traveled around.
And we see that at times, even here in this state. When I was at the Sheriffs and Chiefs Conference last fall, several of the chiefs approached me concerning laterals that they're like, they were amazed that they were even wearing badges, because they tried the lateral into their agency, they did the background, and they found all this negative stuff, and they were just dumbfounded. How could they be wearing a badge? So they asked me, since I'm the co-chair of the of WASPIC's Training and Law Enforcement Standards Committee, to maybe take a look at that and see who is supposed to be watching the farm, if you will, on that one. So that is one of the things I'll be talking with my committee about sometime in the next couple of months of, okay, how big of a problem is it and what do we need to do about it, and who is responsible for keeping an eye on making sure everybody's following, you know, the at least the bare minimum standards. You know, folks, we talk about these issues, and, you know, over the last 11 years, I've terminated roughly about 63 people between the jail, Geiger, admin staff, and commission staff. And when you take a look at those terminations, many of those behaviors that that caused them to be terminated would have maybe, if dealt with earlier, would have stopped that from ending up in that termination. I'd say very, very few were hired with negative intent. But I can tell you that when I became sheriff, we really revamped the hiring process, and we stepped it up, and we stepped it up to this level. And since that time, the people hired under this new system, we haven't lost a great many of them. So I think it is really important that you have good hiring standards. But, you know, some people, just recently, matter of fact, somebody said, well, the reason that you fired so many people is you have a horrible hiring process. I challenged him. I said, come take a look at it. He'll never do that because all he wants to do is throw mud, and that's what some of these folks like to do. The reality is, when you hold people to standards and you actually do the job of a CEO, say you end up having to do the hard things sometimes. And that was the problem, I believe, with the agency prior to me being sheriff. I know for a fact there are many, many times things were just kind of swept under and it just went by the wayside. That is a crippling aspect for any agency. You can't do that. As a CEO, your job is to, one, set the standards, to enforce those standards and make sure that everybody's living by those standards. And we do a great job of that. The people in the agency do a great job of that. And when I say that, folks, many of the people that were terminated, that information came from their peers. It was their peers self-reporting on themselves, if you will, on their other peers that led to those many of those terminations. And that shows a very healthy culture within the agency, because because they don't want to work with bad officers, with bad detention staff, with bad admin. And that's one of the things I think I'm really proud of in our agency, is that we do have people that are willing to raise the red flag and go, you might want to check on this. And I really think that you folks, you need to be very proud of your sheriff's office. I can tell you that I'm very proud of them. I think that they're a very dedicated, hardworking group of individuals that are doing a really tough job right now. And I can tell you that the two people in the room with me today are, two of the best in their categories and in their arenas. And that is the strength of the Spokane County Sheriff's Office. The thing that's really sad is you have a group of individuals in the Spokane area that just want to tear law enforcement down. They want to tear down any aspect of it almost. City police, sheriff's office, there's an individual by the name of Brian Breen that is working his best to try to do that type of an effort. And the problem is 90% of what he puts out is not factual or true. I just had a meeting with the man and pointed that out to him, and he was actually, it was an amazing meeting. But it saddens me that you have these type of people that want to tear down good, hardworking individuals that do a great job for their community. And folks, maybe it's time for you to step up and go, enough, enough. We're done with this. Quit trying to smear the people that are out there trying to do a great job. That's a little bit of editorializing on the last piece. I hope you found the discussion on hiring an interesting one, but I do ask you, it's time for you to stand up and support your local law enforcement. It's time for you to stand up and say, this type of behavior from this small group is unacceptable. This is Sheriff Ozzy Knezovich with the Sheriff's Report. Have a great day.
The Sheriff's Report is a joint production of SpokaneTalksOnline.com and KTW 630 AM and 96.5 FM, which are solely responsible for its content. Ask a question, recommend a guest, and hear this program again online anytime at SpokaneTalksOnline.com.
Washington is the most trade-dependent state in the country, but our regulatory process for trade and infrastructure investments has sadly become longer and more uncertain, jeopardizing our ability to lead the way on trade. Keep Washington Competitive, a business and labor coalition, believes that by fostering a regulatory environment that provides certainty and encourages investment, we will ensure our state is positive to thrive. It is paramount that our lawmakers and regulators work together with business and labor to sustain our state's vital trade industries for future generations of Washingtonians. Learn more at keepwashingtoncompetitive.com.